Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantha Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj, Maharaj ki,
Gopremanandi. So what did we discuss last week?
Don't give a whole
summary of the pastime. I just points, philosophical points. Because we all know the pastime. What did we discuss?
Uddhava prays for the devotion of the gopi.
Yeah.
And
then is this recording?
So difficult to achieve with the sages.
It's on? Yep.
It is so difficult to achieve with the devotion for the sages.
Yep.
And but we have achieved it.
The
simple ladies and girls who set a high class devotion to them. Yeah.
Any other points?
Now the Maharaj laid his body not because he wasn't sad that Krishna wasn't there, but because he didn't want to cause the shame and suffering.
Good. Anything else?
Yeah, then Buddha then prayed our senses to the gopis. And he said, I wish I become the bush or the creeper or the herbs in the devil so that I can get the dust from this.
Any other points?
I think the Lord was telling Krishna about the vision of the Narayana and the vision of the Narayana. And then Krishna was telling like anything and then he told about the gopis and he said,
anything else?
Also, Uttama has a position that high Krishna as a counselor of Krishna. Maybe he is not at that level and at that level.
Hmm.
Hmm.
The which demonstrates the exalted nature of that holy dharma.
Anything else?
He then started to go to his chariot so that he can go to Mathura, but then Maharaj and all the other devotees came to offer him the gifts.
That storyline. I want to hear philosophical points.
The Gopi chant the glory of Lord Krishna, the vibration purifies all the time.
Yeah, good. Anything else? Okay, so after hearing the most exalted chapter, which was called The Song of the Bumblebee, tonight we'll begin chapter 48. The chapter 48 is called Krishna Pleases His Devotees. So Uddhava has gone back to Mathura, and then we'll hear about his interactions with Krishna in Mathura. Sukadeva Goswami said, next, after assimilating Uddhava's report, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the omniscient soul of all that be, desired to satisfy the serving girl, Sri Vakra, who was troubled by lust. Thus, he went to her house.
This text gives an interesting insight into the Lord's pastime. The first line says, Atha, Vinaya, Bhagavan. That's the Lord, understanding Uddhava's report. The second line states that Lord Krishna is the soul of everything, Sarvatma, and the seer of everything, Sarva, Darshana. In other words, although he certainly does not depend on spoken reports from messengers, he plays the part of a human being and listens to news from a messenger, not out of need, as we would do, but in the bliss of his blissful pastimes, exchanging love with his pure devotee. The word Sarva Darshana also indicates that the Lord perfectly understands the feeling of the residents of Braja and was perfectly reciprocating with them with their heart, within their heart. Now in his external pastimes, he desired to bless Srimati Trivakra, who was about to be freed from the disease of material lust.
Very good. So one of the points there. So we're seeing that Krishna exchanges love with every devotee. But he is, by the arrangement of Yogamaya, he is in Mathura. In one sense, he wants to go back to Vrindavan. But by the arrangements of his Leela Shakti, his pastime potency, he can't go back into Vrindavan. So he has to stay in Mathura. That's a divine arrangement, which even Krishna subordinates himself to allow his pastimes to feel the deepest levels of emotion and bliss and exchange of love between his devotees. So he is in Mathura, but as we heard in the previous chapter, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes that when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, he asked them the gopis when he was there, and he said, "I'll read a message from you, from Krishna. Please close your eyes." And at that time, Krishna manifests fully to the gopis. So because they had a desire to be with him, he reciprocated with them. And they danced. They performed the Rasa Lila, which lasted for like a million years, another Brahma. So they felt fully satisfied. They have received his association. Even though he's separated from them, they received his association. So Krishna fulfills the desire of every devotee. If a devotee wants to be with Krishna, then Krishna will be with him. All of us are Vaishnavabhas. Vaishnavabhas means we are shadow devotees. It means our desire to be with Krishna is not strong enough. Otherwise, we could and would be with Krishna right now. There is no barrier or no obstacle which is stopping us from being with Krishna. The only obstacle that stops us from being with Krishna is our own lack of desire. We don't desire to be with Krishna strongly enough. Mainly our bhakti at this point in time, our bhakti is mainly impelled by avoidance of suffering. We don't want to suffer, that's why we surrender to Krishna. It's not because we want to serve Krishna. That's not the main impetus. The main impetus is we just want to stop our suffering. We have some desire to serve Krishna, but that's not the strongest desire in our consciousness. So because our desire is not fully strengthened to the point that we just want to serve Krishna, then we're still in the material world. So this is, a bhakti is like some karma mishra or jnana mishra or something. Mixed. Not pure devotion. It's not strong enough at this point. What we're reading about in the Bhagavatam is devotees who have completely overwhelming love for Krishna. And when they have that kind, when you have that kind of love, then Krishna reciprocates. So in this chapter we see Trivakra, Kumja, she wants to serve Krishna, intense desire. You can think of nothing else, but Krishna reciprocates. Later in the chapter we hear Akrura. Akrura wants to serve Krishna, so Krishna goes to his home. So if the devotee wants to serve, then Krishna will reciprocate. If the devotee does not have a strong desire, then Krishna does not reciprocate. So that's up to them. So we see here that Krishna is known as Achyutya. This word is name is given in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Senayo, Ubiyo Maje. Arjuna said, "Achyutya, infallible one, please draw my chariot between the two armies, so that I can see who is present here, who desires to fight in this trial of arms." So, in this chapter also, Krishna is called Achyutya, which means infallible. Krishna always reciprocates the desires of a devotee. If a devotee has a strong spiritual desire, Krishna will fulfill that desire. But he fulfills it when he wants to fulfill it, not when we want to fulfill it. If there's something that we desire spiritually, then Krishna will fulfill that desire. But we have to be ready according to his plan. Just like when Srila Prabhupada was with us at the last, in the last year that he was on the planet, the devotee said to Prabhupada, "Can we pray that Krishna will keep you with us?" And Prabhupada said, "You can pray, my Lord, if you desire, keep Srila Prabhupada with us." We can't put demands on Krishna. You can't go to Krishna and say, you know, do this or do that. It's up to him. If he wants to do it, he can do it. He can do anything. But if he doesn't want to do it, maybe he wants you to suffer. Maybe he wants you to lose something. Maybe he wants you. So he's teaching us different things. So we can't question his desire. Krishna has a higher plan. We can't see that always. We have to surrender to Krishna. That's what surrender means. Surrender means sometimes you have to accept things you don't like to accept. Sometimes you have to give up things you don't like to give up. That's bhakti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that is sharanagati. That is surrender. Surrender means I don't want to give something up, but Krishna wants me to. Okay, I'll give it up. I don't want to accept something, but Krishna wants me to. Okay, I'll accept it. That's bhakti. So we have to have that mood in our devotional service. So Kupcha has that mood. Gakura has that mood. All these devotees have the mood. The bridge buses have that mood. So therefore, Krishna reciprocates. Bhagavatam is teaching Amala Bhakti, pure devotional service. Shuddha Bhakti, Amala Bhakti, Uttama Bhakti, Devala Bhakti. All these terms define pure devotional service. That's why Lord Chaitanya preferred to hear Srimad Bhagavatam more than any other Shastra. Because it speaks of pure devotional service. And it says in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Chaitanya, when he was with Gadadhar Pandit, who was the manifestation of Srimati Radharani in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, they would hear the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj hundreds of times. Gadadhar Pandit would read it again, and Lord Chaitanya would say, "Please speak that again." And then Gadadhar would speak again. So Dhruva Maharaj, this speaks about pure devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj, pure devotional service. That's what the Bhagavatam speaks about. That's why the Bhagavatam is superior to all other Shastras. There are 18 Puranas, 18 major Puranas, 18 minor Puranas. What are some of the major Puranas? Famous ones.
Vishnu Purana.
Vishnu Purana.
Narsingha Purana.
Brahma Vaivata Purana, Bhavishya Purana, Padma Purana, Garuda Purana, yeah, Brahma Vaivata Purana. Different Puranas today, like famous Puranas. But interesting, if you look at all the Vedic literatures, most of them don't have commentaries. Most of the Puranas don't have commentaries. I think the Vishnu Purana or the Padma Purana has a few commentaries. The Bhagavad Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam, has many, many commentaries. So this shows, just by, in many traditions, this is the Shastra which has the most commentary. Therefore, it is the most important of all books. It is the essence of Vedic knowledge. And one's life becomes perfect when one studies Srimad Bhagavatam. We cannot allow any obstacle to stop us from studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. The rest of the world can come and go, but we don't stop studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. Obstacles will always be put in our path, but we don't stop studying the Bhagavatam. So any points?
I've heard Kupcha has a lashkar desire. Do they call it a lashkar?
Yeah, there's different ways of looking at her desires. We'll see tonight as we go through, there's different ways of looking at her. Kupcha is a mixed personality. Special personality. Not easy to understand. Only by the mercy of Srimati Radharani can you understand Kupcha. Hare Krishna. Any other point?
If God does whatever he desires, then why do we have to pray?
Pray what? That's up to you. Prabhupada didn't say you had to pray. Prabhupada said if you want to pray. Prayer is something which comes from the heart. If a devotee wants to pray, then Prabhupada said, if you pray, then pray like this. The devotee said to Prabhupada, can we pray to Krishna for this? Prabhupada said, if you pray to Krishna for this, then pray like this. That's up to you. Any other point? Ultimately, yeah. You'll still pray anyway. Yeah, you don't have to, but you'll still do it. Because we feel helpless. When you feel helpless, you pray for it. So that's your prerogative. Everyone will do that. Philosophically, we can say it's not necessary. It's who you see, everyone does it. So. When your life is in danger, you pray. When your life's in danger, you don't just say, you know, whatever Krishna, whatever you desire. And no, you pray, you say, Krishna, Krishna. And that's it. Even pure devotees do that. In the Bhagavatam, when the forest fire came, all the cowherd boys prayed to Krishna, please protect us. Krishna, Krishna, maha, baho. Protect us. They've got a pure devotee more. Any other points? To Krishna. We pray, but then when we pray, it's up to Krishna what he wants to do. We just have to learn to accept Krishna's desire, his will. What is the door? It's making too much noise. The wind is disturbing the life airs. Everyone in Melbourne. Are they hearing Krishna? This howling noise is not auspicious. Noise of wind, not
auspicious.
That's up to him. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. That's up to him. It's up to him what he wants to do. Sometimes you pray, save this person's life, and suddenly the person gets better. Other times you say, please save this person's life, and then Krishna takes it. It's up to him. He has a plan. Srivakra's home was opulently appointed with expensive furnishings and replete with sensual accoutrements meant to inspire sexual desire. There were banners, rows of strung pearls, canopies, fine beds, and sitting places, and also fragrant incense, oil, lamps, flower garlands, and aromatic sandalwood paste. So Kubja is an interesting personality because the acharyas describe her in different ways. She can be seen almost like a dual personality. On one level, she's considered to be Krishna's bhu shakti, so she's actually the internal potency of the Lord. On another level, it's said she has some love for Krishna or Bhava, like a mood of attachment, like a strong attraction to Krishna, but still mixed with some calm or some lust. Not completely pure. So it's described in two different ways. So we can take it differently. The basic point that we need to learn is that you cannot approach Krishna with mixed desire. You can approach Krishna with mixed desire. Akama sava kama va moksha kama udaradi kivrina bhakti yogena. Bhagavatam says, if you have no desire, or you have full of material desires, whatever your desire, moksha kama, even if you want moksha like that, different desires you can have. You should approach Krishna regardless of, so you know, we have material desires, but we approach Krishna. We don't go to some demigod. But we are approaching Krishna, that's our mood. But if you want to unite with Krishna, if you want to meet Krishna, you have to give up material desires. And Krishna will purify us. As long as we keep approaching him, he'll gradually purify. How does he purify? He gives you suffering. Because when you suffer, what happens? You give up your attachment to the material world. If there's no suffering, you won't give up your attachment. Just like, you know, say I'm holding the watch, right? So, just say this watch is Brinda's watch, right? Just as an example, I've got the watch. So, you know, sometimes you see the kids, they say, give it back. And you won't give it back. Give it back. Then they go, ugh. Right? And then you, suffering makes you give up. Right? So that's the nature of the material world. When we suffer, we let go. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavatam, Dukala Yama Shashvatam, in Gita. Krishna says, there must be suffering, because then you will give up. Otherwise, you won't give up. You're not strong enough. Our bhakti is not strong enough to give up. We won't let go of this material world. We're not strong enough. We're not sincere enough. I know myself, many times. You know, Krishna gives me the opportunity to surrender. I don't surrender. Right? Then Krishna says, okay, I'll help you. Yeah, yeah, have some suffering. I said, okay, now. So, the point is, the Bhagavatam is teaching us here, you can't approach Krishna with material desires. Because material desires are obstacles in the path of devotion. Because Kumbhaja wants to satisfy Krishna in a conjugal way. The gopis, they also want to satisfy Krishna in a conjugal way. For the gopis, there is no other desire. Just let Krishna enjoy. Kumbhaja, she has some desire for herself. I also want to enjoy. And because of that, that's a disqualification to satisfy Krishna. So we have to give up our material desire. Lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion, all these things have to be given up. Otherwise, you cannot serve Krishna purely. Any points? Krishna has many names. Many of the devotees have many names. Arjuna has many names. What's some of Arjuna's name? Partha. Dhananjaya. Krishna, yeah, he's also Gurakesh, Parthasarathi, Kiriti, okay, yes, Kalgun. He has many names. Arjuna has many names. Even a devotee has many names. So, Kubja, Sri Bhakti. Kunteya. Many names. When Trivakra saw him arriving at her home, her house, she at once rose from her seat in a flurry. Coming forward graciously with her girlfriend, she respectfully greeted Lord Achyutya by offering him an excellent seat and other articles of worship. So she became enthusiastic when she saw him. You see, that's what happens in this material world. We become enthusiastic when there's an opportunity for
enjoyment,
sense gratification. When sense gratification, we all become enthusiastic. We run. We all do it like that. Even you see here in the temple. Prabhupada said we should honor prasadam. Prasadam is meant for honoring, for respect. You see, many times the devotees, they take prasadam for sense gratification. You see the 7 o'clock offering. You know, they make pizza and things like this. 6:40 offering. So they all run. And it's like, even one time, like I'm more senior devotee. And some like Bhakta guy runs in, I'm about to grab something. He like saw me about to grab it. Like this. Not an initiated guy like this. I was looking like, what's going on? Look, that's not even civilized. Happens. We all do it like this. Just, you know, sense gratification. Not because we want to honor prasadam. No, just because we want some pizza people go crazy. Even in the temple, you see it. It sends gratification. It's not because we're honoring prasadam. Not saying because, I want to honor Krishna's remnants. We just want sense gratification. That's all. Try to control our tongue, our belly, our genitals. So Sri Vakra, and she sees Krishna coming, becomes mad. Oh, there he is. Opportunity for sense gratification. Enthusiastic. Whereas on the pure platform, the gopis, they show us, and other pure devotees, same enthusiasm, but to please Krishna's senses. And it looks the same externally. Very similar. One is enthusiastic, the other one is enthusiastic. The motivation is completely different. So we have to study the Bhagavatam and understand these things carefully. That's why many people could not understand Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. Because they think it is based on sense gratification. Abhmavam manichayajaka. Because I am lusty, then I think everyone else is lusty. That is our illusion, maya. The gopis and it says the Chara say Kupji cannot be on the same level as the Gopi. Okay. Any points? Uddhava also received a seat of honor, since he was a saintly person, but he simply touched it and sat on the floor. Then Lord Krishna, imitating the manners of human society, quickly made himself comfortable on an opulent bed.
Regarding to Bhantar, yes, Uddhava felt reverence for his Lord and was declared to sit on an opulent seat in his presence. Rather, he sat in the seat with his hands and sat on the floor. He was sure that it was, yes, that Lord Krishna made himself comfortable on a bed located in the inner chambers of the Uddhava.
Any points?
Shows Uddhava's position as a devotee of the Lord, yes, a great person, a sensitive person, but not his associate, not like the abbot. They would have just sat in the
Yeah, it's definitely a difference there. So we're learning from these series of verses, Vedic culture. How we should receive a guest. When a guest comes to your home, there has to be a reception. You'll see so many articles are being offered here. In Prabhupada says that if someone comes to our home, the least you can give is a place to sit and some water. And Prabhupada says, if you can't even give that, then just give kind words. That's it. That's the most important thing. And then everything else goes. If, whatever facility you have. If you have facility, then you must offer it. Actually, just like you see in the pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu, he came, that sannyasi came to Adai Pandit's house, his father's house, and he said, you can take anything you want. Actually, that's the mood when the guest comes. Everything belongs to the guest. Atithi Bhagava, considered to be God's representative, the guest. So you must offer anything to the guest. And the guest says, give me your son. And you have to obey. Now, there's some realized personality, not to be. One time Prabhupada was on the train in India, and then there's some people, Indian man with his sons, and they wanted to see Prabhupada at darshan. Prabhupada was in the cabin. They wanted to have darshan of Prabhupada. They're trying to get in, and then devotees were not letting them in. They said, no, 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 don't disturb Prabhupada. So, you know, they were being very persistent. Then the door was open a little bit. The man was looking like this. Prabhupada said, who is that? He said, yeah, I want to see you, Prabhupada. I said, okay, call them in. They came in, one man with his two sons. He said, the man was saying, oh, Swamiji, please give your blessings to my sons. Prabhupada said, give me one of your sons. He said, you have two sons? Give me one. I will train him as perfect brahmachari. The other one you can keep, you can your family business as you like, but one you give me. The man became very, oh, Swamiji, we have to go. I left. Prabhupada said, see, they're so attached. He said, in the Vedic culture, you would give your son to the same people. So, we're being showed here how to satisfy the guest. So when the guest comes, you must offer these things. This is the culture. The guest is atithi. I mean, you must give respect. Offer whatever you can. If you can't offer so much, then just give kind words and some water.
The
Vedic
culture in India, because it didn't sit.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, we should also be very conscientious of these things. When dealing with a senior personality, very conscious. Always give respect. Bhagavatam says earlier on, Maitreya and Vidura, their pastor, one would not instruct in the... Uddhava is involved as well. One would not instruct in front of the senior personality. Have to be very careful. If someone is more senior there, you don't start preaching in front of them. You let that senior person preach. You always offer respect to the senior person. Let them have the seat. Let them have distinction, have the honor of that. Don't try to push yourself forward. The nature of the conditioned soul is to always push himself forward. But we should sit back and we should let the senior person have the respect. So Uddhava would not sit in front of Krishna. He said, no, I'm not going to sit on the same level as Krishna, so he just touched the seat and he sat on the ground. Even one time I was, last time I saw my guru, Maharaj, his disappearance day was a couple of days ago. So, last time I saw him, he invited me to take prasad with him. So, there was a table and chairs. So, I was standing, he said, sit there. So, I sat, he sat the other end of the table, so he was sitting. For 2 or 3 days, we sat like that, like equal. And then after prasad, we washed our hands, and then we went into the like the lounge area. He sat on the couch, so I sat on the other couch. Because I just thought, you know, like, oh, we're sitting like that. And he said to me, he said, you can't sit on the same level as your guru. Yeah, you have to be careful. not to become familiar. Be careful. Sometimes we do like that.
Familiarity brings contempt.
Even Indra Jumna Swami one time, I remember, one god brother of yours. I won't say that, but one god brother. He was becoming too familiar. He was serving Mara, becoming too familiar. Mara said, you need to go away now. Even in Prabhupada's pastimes, Hari Sori Prabhu served Prabhupada 15 months. And he was becoming too familiar with Prabhupada. Respect was going down. But he said to Prabhupada, I'm feeling like that. My respect for Prabhupada said, yes, you should go away. And so you do not commit offense. You have to be very careful. Familiarity breeds contempt. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I had the experience where a guru said, sit on a seat, which is, you know, I'm an old lady, my knees hurt.
You're very old.
Not very old, but my knees do hurt. And the guru said, okay, sit on the seat. And I still said no. Is that wrong to say no to the guru when he tells you to do something, even if you're trying to give him respect?
It's not wrong. Yeah, it's not wrong to do it. You just have to be practical sometimes as well. Mm-hmm. It's also not wrong to do it. Yeah, of course, because he said to do it, then there's no... Even Burujampur, where I went up to see him, you know, up there, and while he's sitting on the couch, and I sat on the floor, and he said, no, I'm sitting on the couch. But then other times, you know, he might say that, and I might not do it. So, you know, whatever, you know, it's right or wrong. Okay. But yeah, you can do it. If they say you can do it, you can do it. Don't do it automatically. Mm-hmm. Any other point?
No, I had a similar experience when I had a man who was in the TV. So then I went to the TV. I went to camp for a week, and the first day he asked me to go to the TV. I was very hesitant. Although I didn't know what to do, I was sitting on the corner of my butt, on the corner like that. Then I got down in 2 minutes. Then I put my head in my head.
You just have to be careful with the man.
He did say that, you know, I guess. He did say that.
It's interesting because when I took prasad with my Guru Maharaj, Kumar Krishnamurti, we took for 2 or 3 days. We were sitting together, and my godbrother would come in to serve, and Kumar Krishnamurti would get him to serve me first. And I felt very, like, he said, no, you are the guest, serve him first. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't eat until he started. Mm-hmm. They put everything in, and, he, and then when he started, then I started. Okay. Which verse?
5.
Srivakra prepared herself by bathing, anointing her body, and dressing in fine garments, by putting on jewelry, garlands, and perfume, and also by chewing betel nut, drinking fragrant liquor, and so on. She then approached Lord Madhava with shy, playful smiles and coquettish glances. You can read the purport. Priya?
From his words that the lady, a woman, prepared her sexual condom for her food in the fountain.
So once again, this is Vedic culture. This is there in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, in the pastime of Devahuti and Kashyapa. When we're conceiving children, then it has to be a pleasant atmosphere. That's culture. So the woman makes herself as attractive as possible. Because it means the mind should be in a pleasant atmosphere. If you're conceiving a child, the mind should be free of anxiety. If you're in anxiety when you're conceiving the child, then the birth can have some... There can be some problems like that. I mean, problems can come anyway, that's karma. But very important. Very important, there is a loving mood. Actually, Burujan Prabhu said that to me. He said, when the husband and wife conceived the child, it was a very loving rule between husband and wife. He said, this is, he actually said to me, he said, this is a way to show affection. No, it should not be like mechanical or, how do you say it, like ritualistic or like that, but it should be affectionate between the husband and wife, like that. And then the child will also have that nice mood. Sometimes it has become too mechanical. That thing. It should just be natural. Mm-hmm. The mind should be remembering Krishna.
Well, there is a difference.
Oh, God. Calling forward his beloved, who was anxious and shy at the prospect of this new contact, the Lord pulled her by her bangled hands onto the bed. Thus he enjoyed with that beautiful girl, whose only trace of piety was her having offered ointment to the Lord. Meenakshi. So, women become glorious and they become attractive when they are chaste and shy. That is culture. Prabhupada gives the example that when he was a grihastha, one time there was one cleaning lady. So, maybe that's considered like a lower class. So, she was coming, and there was a group of men, like more higher class men, and then she came and she needed to pass through. And because just by her mannerism, she was very chaste and shy, like that, they all parted. Even though, you know, she may be considered low class, the problem is that is the power of the woman. When she is chaste, shy, cultured like that, she has great potency. You see, the women these days are not encouraged to be like that, and then everything falls apart in society. So when the woman has that energy of chastity, control, self-control, it becomes very powerful. And when she doesn't have that, then. So, Kubjatri Bhakra, she is like that. She's very shy in front of Krishna. And that's culture. Then, the other point which is being made is that she is offering just a very small service to Krishna. I only saw him once out on the street when he first entered. Into Mathura. One little bit of service was offered to Krishna with sincerity. Krishna never forgot that service. It's an important point. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Svalpapyasya Dharmasya Trayato Mahatobaya. Svalpa, alpa means very small. You just offer a very small service to Krishna, that it protects you from the greatest fear. Krishna never forgets that service. Prabhupada says, even if someone just chants the holy name one time, at the end of their life, they get the benefit of that. Prabhupada says, the Rath Yatra, you had Rath Yatra last week or the week before. So then, Rath Yatra is there, and Prabhupada says, if they see Jagannath on the cart just once in their life, and then their whole life goes. And then at the end of their life, Prabhupada says, they will see their whole life flash before their eyes, and when it gets to Jagannath, it will stop. And at the time of death, they will just see Jagannath. Prabhupada says that. That is the power of bhakti. Krishna doesn't forget, just one time. It says if someone pulls the rope, you know when we do Rath Yatra, the devotees run up and down the side, And they said, hey, come here. I saw Brahma Kun Prabhu. I don't know, this year, but last year, the year before. I was watching him. I was in the middle, dancing and chanting. I saw him on the side, just grabbing people. Hey, come. Come and pull this rope. Yeah, dozens of people he must have got. Come, pull the rope. And they pull just that one saver. And then eternally they get the benefit. Actually, in the Shastra, it says that if one pulls that rope, he doesn't take birth again. There's statements like that. Very powerful. So, this is the power of bhakti. Svalpasya. Alpa means just one very small service that you do for Krishna, but it never is forgotten. So what to speak of us serving Krishna all day, all night, every day? Krishna does not forget this. He's more hard on us because Prabhupada's life describes when the child is small, you're very lenient. Like my daughter now, she's 13, right? Okay, you know, 2 years ago, like, you know, but now I said to her this morning, I say, Sage, come, you gotta look your game. You're not a kid anymore. You know? She's like, oh, come on. You're not a kid. Get it together. Think. Prabhupada said the disciple is like that. When the disciple is new, the guru is lenient. But after some time, the guru is going, hey, come on. You should know this. Get moving. So we're supposed to take responsibility. So in the beginning there's leniency, but then when you get more serious as a devotee, then you have to take up the responsibility.
And then is this word from Yuksa?
What is that verse? Nehabhikrama Nashwasti Prachavayuna Vijate Swapamapyasa Dharmasha. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse number. 40? I think it's 44. Okay. Is it 44? Oh, for God's sake, now we got it. You got this iPhone, takes 5 minutes, where are you? Huh? Is it 40? If I ask the Yatmika Buddhi, that's 41. What's 44? Vaigosh Vaya Prasakthana. Vaigosh Vaya.
Yeah,
Vaigosh Vaya. Yeah, I got it mixed up. Okay. Chapter 2.
Thank you.
Verse 40. Okay. Okay. Verse 40, huh? Simply by smelling the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet, Trivakra cleansed away the burning lust Cupid had aroused in her breast, chest, and eyes. With her two arms, she embraced between her breasts her lover, Sri Krishna, the personification of bliss, and thus she gave up her long standing distress. So any contact we have with Krishna purifies the consciousness. So when you chant the holy name, you become purified. When you worship the deity, you become purified. She became purified by contact with Krishna. She offered herself to Krishna, she became purified. The Acharyas point out that before Krishna walked into her house, there was still some lust in the consciousness. But after Krishna came, and he actually physically touched her, and she got direct darshan of him and absorbed herself, she was purified by the fragrance of his form, she became completely liberated of all material desires. There's a potency. That's why Prabhupada says in ISKCON we have to distribute books, distribute prasad, and distribute the holy name. Because when you distribute these things, people become purified in their consciousness. That's why I have to give out as much prasadam as possible, as much books as possible, as much of the holy name as possible. Because then people become purified. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Acharyas say two things. One commentary is that she was already Bhushakti, she's already Krishna's internal pleasure potency. Another description is there's some lust there, and that had to be purified. So we can take it both ways. The point is, by any contact with Krishna, you become
purified.
That's why we have to give Krishna to everyone. Give prasadam, give the holy name, give the book. Here we come.
Can you also describe it as satisfied?
In the previous life. Yeah. He was
He wanted
Was she Shivanaka or was she that was the one who was criticizing Lord Ram?
The washerman, was it?
Yeah, it could have been.
Was it the washerman?
Oh yeah, the washerman was
He criticized
Ram's
wife.
Yeah. And then took birth as the washerman. Yeah.
So
Shubhankar
is the one who wanted her.
Yeah. Could be like that, Shubhankar. Mm-hmm. If you look it up, you find the commentary then.
I'm sorry about the question.
Quickly. When you remember this. Having thus gotten the hard to get Supreme Lord by the simple act of offering him body ointment, unfortunate Trivakra submitted to that Lord of Freedom the following request. Trivakra said, O beloved, please stay here with me for a few days more and enjoy. I cannot bear to give up your association, O lotus-eyed one. So this now she's completely attached to Krishna. She's developed prema. And when you have prema, you cannot live without Krishna for a moment. So Prabhupada says he cannot remember a moment when he did not remember Krishna. He said that. And we can not remember a moment where we forgot. We are the opposite. Even when you're sitting here in the class, still forgetting Krishna, still thinking of mundane things, still making business deals. So attached. Hare Krishna.
So, remembering Krishna was in Vrindavan and throwing all the demons.
Yep.
And the different demons represented different, I think the word anatta that we have. Is lust an anatta that Krishna can take out of us, or is it something based on those stories? Is it something we have to do? So I can't remember.
It was represented by Pralambasura. Pralambasura is killed by Balaram, represents attachment to the opposite sex. And the Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we have to give up that.
But in this case, Krishna's helping her on that last week.
Krishna helps us the whole way.
The whole
way. Even though it says we have to give it up, I mean, good luck. Yeah. Krishna's going to help anyway. Promising her the fulfillment of his lusty desire, considerate Krishna, Lord of all beings, paid Trivakra his respects and then returned with Uddhava to his own supremely opulent residence. So, Krishna offers her respect. This is important also because a culture person always offers respect to others. We don't always do that. When we're conditioned souls, we tend to offer less respect than we should. We avoid offering respect. Too much effort to offer obeisances or offer pranams or say nice words out of envy. But a cultured person offers respect. And Krishna is showing that. Even he offers respect. He's the Supreme Lord. And when he's leaving, he offers respect to Kuja. Yeah, we can't be bothered getting down on the mat, ground and offering obeisances, even in the temple room before the deity. So many things that we make a culture person offers respect. Now, as he leaves with Uddhava. Because Uddhava has a high reputation, very high class brahmana. Krishna has just been contacting with a woman, making contact with a woman he's not even married to. And she's not a high class woman either. She's not a princess or anything. She's just she's actually in Shudra class. So Krishna's had conjugal affairs with her. And then he leaves with Uddhava to maintain his reputation. Because if he walks out by himself, everyone may say, oh, what was Krishna doing there? But when he walks out with Uddhava, right, everyone thinks, oh, Uddhava. Right, they must have been blessing her or something. I don't understand. Krishna was doing something which would normally be condemned or criticized within society. So the point is, we must maintain our reputation under all circumstances. It doesn't mean that we do nonsense. We make sure no one finds out and maintain our reputation, but it means we must maintain our reputation. Sometimes we speak in such a way or act in such a way, and then our reputation is tarnished. We have to be very careful of that. Even myself, I've done things. Sometimes I say things the wrong way, or I've done something the wrong way, and senior devotees have said to me, "Oh, that's not correct. You'll be criticized." And so we do. Sometimes we make mistakes. We speak in an uncultured way, act in an uncultured way. We must be very careful to preserve our reputation. Because our reputation is everything. Because if people are going to look at us with faith, we have to have a good reputation. Yeah? If someone does things which are nonsense, we find out, then we're not inclined to listen to them anymore. Oh, they're doing like that, I don't want to hear. And that's very important.
Was he Brahman because of his character, or was he born?
He's considered, sometimes he's part of the royal order, but he's often mentioned like he's a Brahmana, so I'm not sure if he's exact.
I thought
he was a cousin of the Maybe he's born, because it's not by birth, it's by quality. He seems to be respected as a Brahmana. Even though he's born in the Chaturi family.
Mm-hmm. You know, as young, my mum used to always tell my sister and I that a girl's reputation is like a pane of glass. Once you scratch it, you can never fix it. So you have to be careful how you speak, how you act, especially females, and in law society.
Yeah, in a cultured society. Lord Chaitanya says, out of everyone in society, whose position is the most difficult? Who does everyone watch the most closely? The sannyasi. Because if a sannyasi does something, everyone's watching all the time. And Lord Chaitanya says, if a sannyasi has a fault, it's like a black spot on a white cloth. Mm-hmm. Everyone says, oh, look. Mm-hmm. Sannyasi just does one thing. Anything. If sannyasi says, then everyone says, oh, look what Maharaj is doing, or look what Maharaj did. It only takes sannyas if you're very, very fixed up. Yeah, I was speaking to Burujan Prabhu one time. I was joking with him. I said, oh, I might take sannyas because my other marriage finished. I said, oh, I might take sannyas. And then he said to me, he said, then Maya really tests you. Mm-hmm. He said, then Maya really, if you become a sannyas, because then all the time, Maya's looking for ways to throw you off. You have to be very careful. Come to sannyasi, you have to be very fixed up. I wasn't fixed up enough to become a sannyasi. I'm not on a high enough standard. Sannyasi, you have to be very fixed up. If there's any defect, then people will criticize.
Okay, which verse are we on?
11.
11? Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Lord of all Lords, is ordinarily difficult to approach. One who has properly worshipped him and then chooses the benediction of mundane sense gratification is certainly of poor intelligence, for he is satisfied with an insignificant result. Then Lord Krishna, wanting to have some things done, went to Akrura's house with Balaram and Uddhava. The Lord also desired to please Akrura. Akrura stood up in great joy when he saw them. His own relatives and the greatest of exalted personalities coming from a distance. After embracing them and greeting them, Akrura bowed down to Krishna and Balaram and was greeted by them in return. Then, when his guests had taken their seats, he worshipped them in accordance with scriptural rules. O King, Akrura bathed the feet of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram and then poured the bath water on his head. He presented them with gifts of fine clothing, aromatic sandalwood paste, flower garlands, and excellent jewelry. After thus worshipping the two lords, he bowed his head to the floor. He then began to massage Lord Krishna's feet, placing them on his lap. And with his head bowed in humility, he addressed Krishna and Balaram as follows. Akrura said, "It is our good fortune that you two lords have killed the evil Kamsa and his followers, thus delivering your dynasty from endless suffering and causing it to flourish. You both are the original Supreme Person, the cause of the universe and its very substance. Not the slightest subtle cause or manifest product of creation exists apart from you." So he's saying to them, you are the Supreme Lords. So all of this is just your lila. It is just your pastime. You've killed Kamsa, and you've killed so many demons, but for you, it's nothing. You don't have to go into a wrestling arena and have a fight for 2 hours and then kill him. Just by your desire, he can be destroyed. So Kura is pointing out Krishna's exalted nature. The Brijbasis, they may see Krishna act like that, but then a few moments later, they just treat him like he's a member of the family. But Akrura has more foreign reverence because Mathura Leela is different. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah.